You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. All right, I just got ready to say Phil Smith joins us this morning. And what do you think happened? Like, Phil Smith goes away. So I guess we'll do this live on the radio.
Yes, I'm here.
What happened?
I don't know, buddy.
Oh. All right. Joining us, exactly, is retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel, Colonel Phil Smith. He is a prior enlisted Marine and rose to the rank of Staff Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
How about that? I remember that. Rose to the rank of Staff Sergeant. He was an infantry and reconnaissance Marine, and then got commissioned and going through Texas A&M. Didn't buy the boots, just so everybody knows, just for the record. And then he went on to an illustrious career as a commissioned officer. So and we know him as our South Carolina Yankee woodcutter. So what is how's everything? What are we working on in the shop these days?
I'm making two accent cabinets. It's kind of like about a 3 foot tall cabinet with a door on one side and drawers on the other, just for accent. I'm making one out of walnut and one out of cherry.
Do you have a favorite type of wood?
Right now, probably cherry.
Why?
It's a little bit softer than some of the hardwood like walnut and oak, and easier to manipulate and finish. Plus, it's just got a nice patine look to it. You know, if you look at it naturally, it's real pleasing to the eye type thing.
All right. That sounds like somebody who knows a little bit about wood, so congratulations on that deal. Are you finding your days are full enough in retirement?
Yes. It's really amazing.
Because you sound like you don't do a whole lot.
I do a lot of reading. I'm still in the book club. And I like putzing around the house. Of course, in the springtime and in the fall, I do a wood shop class. It's about 2 months long, so I'm steadily focused on building the skills that I think necessary to build, you know, good furniture.
Okay, hold on. Here's a question, Mac. Is Colonel Smith a survivalist? Is he doing this because he thinks that Armageddon's coming? And he wants to have the skills to survive in the woods of the Carolinas. So, are you a survivalist? Are you one of those people?
No, I am not.
All right. Just checking, because there's a bunch of them.
I know. They're out here. There's some of them out here, that's for sure.
I didn't even know what that was, and then until somebody explained it to me, I said, "What are you talking about?" And so they explained it to me. I said, like, what is that? Are you actually worried about that? Oh,
no.
So, okay, good to know you're not. All right, I want to talk to you I would never make light of it because it's a serious subject. Always enjoy talking about leadership. And enjoy talking about it with you. Hazing's always been, it's an issue with every organization that has young people around it, athletic teams, high schools, colleges, and fraternities. And so the Marine Corps has its own history of hazing and initiations. And so I'm curious, the 1st Marine Division is in the news these days for Major General Eric Smith, who you trained as you were his SPC at the basic school. So much in the news because he has said this is priority one for me, stopping this, and sent out a letter. So first of all, did you see the letter and any thoughts about the letter that he wrote? It was pretty direct.
I did not see the letter. I just have read an article about what was in the letter. So, but I, from what I have seen in this article about the letter. He was very direct, and it wasn't necessarily surprising to me that he is using his authority in this manner. Anybody that comes from Texas A&M knows what hazing is. To some degree, they participated in it. And I'm pretty sure that when he went back as the MOI, he did his best to stamp it out, wipe it out there, just because it is, at least the way that it was being done at Texas A&M was pretty degrading to the individual.
Okay.
Even though
so let's talk about hazing a little bit. What is the difference between hazing and
punishment, discipline?
And you know, I went through initiations. You went through initiations into whether it was the infantry, reconnaissance community. What's the difference between being initiated and hazing?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you ask that because when I had 4th Marines, I had to come up with a hazing policy after we had come back from Afghanistan. We had a couple of hazing, and so I actually eventually had to write the policy. But the first part of the policy was explanation, definition, understanding of the different terms. And hazing comes from the Old West, to drive cattle. That's where the word came from, to exhaust, to fatigue, to worry, impede. And in our context, it has come to mean to harass by unnecessarily or disagreeable actions, initiations, those types of things. So initiations, I think, are okay as long as they don't jump into the hazing where it's disagreeable, banter, ridicule, those types of things.
Okay, so is the shellback ceremony hazing or initiation?
I think it has come to be that. My shellback, I actually went through golden shellback. I did not think it was hazing at the time, primarily because, see, I was a corporal. There were several officers, several staff NCOs. It was an accepted tradition, and we knew it was coming. I mean, there was nothing physical demeaning. Well, there was some demeaning things about it, depending on your perception, but we thought it was fine. We thought it was a kick. But we never turned around and tried to do that type of stuff inside the Marine Corps. I mean, I had never participated in things like golden shellback inside the Marine Corps.
What's a golden shellback?
I don't think the initiation was any different than the other. It just happened that we crossed the equator in the time zone on the 10th of November.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really special.
Pretty
okay.
Cool. Yep.
All right. That's a great way to spend the Marine Corps birthday, or at least part of it. All right. So you'd say that's an initiation?
Yeah, that would be an initiation.
Right. Okay. All right. Got it. So now.
But it's come to be hazing, at least from what other people.
I think it can be hazing because, you know, for instance, I go through the shellback ceremony and I crawl through garbage chutes, right? I get put in a stock and I get Tabasco injected in my eyes, right? I get lard like shoved down the back of my pants, okay, and smeared on my head. Now, I thought I was having a pretty good time. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I didn't think I was being picked on. You know, I knew that they were enjoying it because we were Marines on an aircraft carrier where there was, you know, almost 6,000 people and there was, you know, 70 guys in the Marine detachment. I expected it, but it was nothing, you know, people were watching. But, you know, there's a difference between crawling through garbage and somebody making you eat garbage, right? So, I mean, those initiations can easily and quickly turn into hazing simply by the presence of certain individuals and the way they manipulate it. So how in your policy did you navigate all of that?
Well, after I had gone through and defined leadership, discipline, hazing, NJP, and non-punitive administrative measures, and then I also had to break down what EMI was, because that is what I found out in discussions with the staff NCOs and the sergeant major and the NCOs, was they were confused about what it was that they could do as far as imposing discipline, conducting training, conducting extra military instruction, incentive PT, and those types of things. So there was confusion out there, and I think it was honest on their part to admit it. So I had to just explain all those things, and then I not only wrote it all down, I got in front of all of them and explained it to them so that they had a better understanding of what it was. So I think that was, of the 9-page paper that I wrote the policy on, over half of it was just explanation and education of what these things are. And then just it came down to a 5-paragraph order on this is the situation, this is the mission, and these are the tasks. And I gave the task directly to the sergeant major. He had the first right of refusal on coordinating and supervising any future leadership classes to the staff NCOs and NCOs that had to do with the hazing and those types of things. So,
okay, do you think, now, you're prior enlisted, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means you've got scumbag in you, yes?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so you're a former enlisted scumbag. Okay, so let me give you my thoughts on who owns this and how you get your hands around it. First of all, officer, when Marines hear officers talking about hazing, it sounds like this, wah wah wah, right? And
regurgitation of what higher headquarters says.
Yeah, and they sit there and they listen to it, because what they know from the people who know the deal, like when they got to the fleet, their senior lance corporals, guys who were locked on, who had done one Westpac pump, they know how they got treated, and they know how to make a good Marine, and they know that other people got to go through what they went through. Okay, so now my question to you is, who stops that in the law? In the law of the jungle, who stops that? And I'll give you again, Lance Corporal Kevin Calhoun, my vehicle commander when I was a company commander in RCT-7 under Lieutenant Colonel Bob Neller. Sir, you officers commit smoking a cigarette. He's in North Carolina. He's an artist now. Sir, you officers can make any rules you want to, but see those barracks over there? We run them, son of a bitches. You want to come out and say you're gay and live up there with us? That shit is not going to fly. Me? I don't much care. They could do whatever they want. But there's some people that live up there. Car's going to get keyed, tire's going to get slashed, put your clothes in the laundry, it's going to get cut up, and that's going to go on day after day after day until they quit, because that's how we do it. And there was a lot of truth in terms of what he said, in terms of the law of the jungle, in terms of how those buildings run. So I absolutely concur with you that handing it to the sergeant major and tasking him and saying, make this work. Who do you hold accountable? How do you do it? How do you bring it down, the number of incidents down, so that it's so hazing is rare in the Marine Corps?
Yep. Well, two things. You've got to not only give the mission to the sergeant major, in my particular case, now if I was a company commander, obviously that'd be a little bit different, but you've got to trust him that he will delegate responsibility to NCOs. And ultimately, the trust that I have has to be in the NCOs themselves, them and their peers.
Right.
I have to get buy-in from them while I'm standing up in front of them talking my philosophy. I have to get buy-in from them. If I don't have buy-in from them, there's nothing that's going to work.
How do you get buy-in from them? Because
a lot of officers demean the NCOs when they get in trouble. They make it personal, so on and so forth. I had none of that in me. Time was too short. These guys, Marines, are too important to me. So just like I had been learning a good majority of my career, if you don't know and understand, you're going to have less of buy-in on anything that anybody tells you. So my approach was education. Learn these terms. There is a difference between these things, and in practicality in our unit, this is what that means. And eventually it came down to this is what you can do and this is what you cannot do. I will support you in anything you can do, but if you get caught doing these things that you cannot do, I will not be able to protect you. So I made it at the first educational, but then it got down to what it was they could and could not do, which is what they all wanted in the first place. But going through that sequence, going from the large, the why, the purpose, education, down to the small, it made sense to their brain housing group. In the regiment, I only had one incident that actually caused the policy to be written, but after that, there was none. So I appreciated and trusted that they would have the buy-in, and they didn't let me down.
That you know of. Do you think
that I know of? That's correct. That is correct.
Okay. All right. Here's an email. Hey Mac, you dumbass. Ask him the question you ask everybody else. Is hazing a problem or a symptom of a problem? So hey Smitty, is hazing a problem? I'm not a dumbass. Is hazing a problem or a symptom of a problem?
Hazing is not the problem. Hazing is a symptom of the problem, and I agree with your the folks who wrote in on that.
I'm a dumbass?
No, that I needed to answer a different question.
Oh, okay. All
right. but it is a leadership problem across the board, stemming from, in this particular case, the previous division commander all the way down.
Okay, so
I don't buy that
from the division commander on down. I think will you find hazing, and I'll ask you this question, all right? Do you find hazing? Will you find strong platoon sergeants that say don't do that shit?
No, I've never heard of it. In fact, in my
right
in the battalion I had, I don't recollect any. Hazing incidents.
When you find hazing incidents and you begin to pull the string, what kind of leadership do you find in the vicinity of the incident?
Yeah, it's usually poor, but
yeah, weak.
I'm also not so naive as to understand that commanders above in the chain of command don't know what's going on. If they don't know is a leadership problem.
You know what? I don't disagree with that. But it's like, to me, they're like the thermostat on the wall, right? They have extremely limited control over the murky underworld of the enlisted scumbag. You know what I mean?
Well, Smith doesn't. No, E.M. Smith doesn't think he does. He thinks he has absolute control.
But he's going to find out that he doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to find out that he doesn't, and I know. If we're solving the problem, if the division commander is the guy solving the problem, you got a problem. And I guess that's what I'm getting to is that to me, now we'll get to the uncharted waters. So how do you begin to hold now? Would you agree with me, corporals are too junior to hold responsible for this stuff because they've just been doing the hazing themselves, and now they're corporals, and we really can't load this up on them, or would you reject that?
I reject that.
I knew you would. All right, choir boy, tell me why. They're novices, man. Like they're gonna stand up to all the peer pressure. I know they got the blood stripe from Chapultepec, blah 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 blah. But they're rookies. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have the balls to stand up and say we ain't doing this. It ain't happening. I'm not having this.
Yeah, they do.
Okay. All right.
And they have all the time, and they prove it in combat.
I agree, but this is different. Why can't we shake this shit?
Well, number I think it's harder than combat.
I would tell you it's harder than combat. This kind of peer pressure.
If the problem is we make it a problem. If it's not the problem, then there's something else, and it's a symptom, then we're focusing on the wrong problem.
I agree. So to me, the problem is leadership.
And if you focus on the symptom, it's going to become a problem. It's like sticking your hand in the fire. You tell your kid, don't put your hand in the fire. What's the kid going to do? Unless you tell him why and you give him education, he's going to stick his hand in the fire. He's going to figure it out. So the more attention you give to a symptom without addressing the problem, you're going to create additional consequential problems to it.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How did you teach your kids about fire? And you tell me, and I'll tell you how I taught my kids, my sons, well, all of them about fire.
I didn't have to.
Oh, really? Because you have smart kids?
No.
Because I got dumb kids.
Yeah. I don't remember ever having to teach them about fire.
I remember
their mother probably did.
Yeah, exactly. You're one of those preoccupied dads out there reading something. When they would get interested, I'd say, "Are you interested in fire?" And they just like look at me. I say, "Here, give me your hand. Come here. You need to touch it." "No, I don't want to." "Come here. Give me your hand." I go grab their hand. I'd take them over the fire. "Do you want to touch it? Come on. I'll touch it with you. Come on. We'll both touch it right now. You want to feel what fire feels like?" "No, Dad, I don't want to." "Come on, let's touch." And then you like scar.
Yeah, so you have to ask yourself.
Scarred for life.
Where do the kids get this notion about fire? If they can't read and they're not educated or they're not treated like that, why do they not naturally know that fire is hot?
You have to teach them by burning them.
No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
Smitty.
My 5-year-old grandson can sit out on a stool and watch me in the bonfire, and he knows instinctively that he's not getting anywhere close to that.
Oh, he knows instinctively?
He knows instinctively.
I'm not buying that. He doesn't know till he gets close to that fire that's hot and that like destroys stuff. But then there's some people that are even intrigued with it and want to mess with it. And that's when you have to take them over and burn their hand. Here you go.
Well, I agree. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, education. Some people need a lot more attention and some people don't.
Okay, so let's talk about education. I don't want to talk about education relative to hazing. So I exempt corporals from solving the problems. I want them to be involved in it. I simply don't think that they have what it takes to put an end to this. Okay? I keep my fingers crossed. Some of them will. The majority of them won't. That's just McNamara. Okay? And I don't blame them because it takes a while till you get your feet underneath you. And standing up to your peers, we've seen repeatedly the worst transgressions in combat happen when peers don't stand up to other peers and people get killed. People lose careers. People go to the brig. All kinds of stupid stuff happen. And if somebody stands up and says, "I'm not fucking doing that. And if you want to fight, let's fight. But I am not doing that." And we won't do that for whatever reason. Leadership at the point of confrontation. 90% of the time, guys back down. So my contention is at the staff sergeant and sergeant level is where the problem really is. That most of the time when a unit's going to get new joins, what do you hear in the week or so before you're going to get those guys? "Hey, we're going to get 6 guys, blah, 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 blah." What do you hear people begin to say? Don't. Hey, if you want to play stupid with me, all right, what do you hear? They start talking shit, right?
Yeah, but they always do.
Okay.
That's just normal. That doesn't mean that they can't take responsibility of giving it.
Okay. I just wanted to establish the fact that they're going to publicly talk shit about what's going to happen to these quote unquote new joins, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know I can look at Phil Smith and I can say, "Yeah, Smitty, he's just joking." Okay? But Rescher, he's not as smart as Smith. Okay? And he's not joking. So, as a platoon sergeant, when I'm going to get somebody to go to get these six new joins, who do I call into my office? I call Rescher and his fire team leader and whatever other knuckleheads fit in with Rescher, and I say, what? If I see a mark, if I see anything stupid, I'm going to come looking for your asses. Do you understand me? And I put them on notice, right? And that's what strong platoon sergeants do. I'm having none of this. You got it? Yes, Staff Sergeant. Get out of my sight now. That means thanks for coming in. It was a pleasure to see you. That's how Marines talk. Get out of here now. Yes, Staff Sergeant. And they go. That's how strong leaders do it, yes?
That's how a strong leader can do it, yes.
Okay. All right.
But strong leaders can use different methods as well.
I agree with you. Okay, more articulate, more sensitive, all of that, okay? Okay, but essentially, you if you know your Marines, you know the people that, or you ought to know the people that are capable of this, and a lot of times they straight up say it, you know, while you're doing stuff. All right, my next question is, how do we, when it happens, though, when Lance Corporal Rescher does this stuff, when Lance Corporal X does this stuff, Lance Corporal X goes on trial. What happens to the sergeant? What happens to the platoon sergeant? What happens to the corporal? Anything? Most of the time not, right? Hello? What the hell? All right, we'll continue our little walk down the road to hazing here with Phil Smith. I like talking because I don't think without consequences to leaders, I don't think that you're going to make any. It's everybody's held individually accountable, and that can't be the way the Marine Corps works. So we will take a quick break. We'll get Phil Smith back on the phone. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Wednesday edition. Yeah, baseball day edition right here. Don't touch that dial. Don't go anywhere. More of this discussion next. For the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff, I've got the perfect gift for you, the Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum, it's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug, scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We've reestablished communications. My subordinate element reestablished communications, as I was calling. Phil Smith joins me. So here's the question. People get charged with hazing, and you see lance corporals going to... And I'll tell you what, I made similar comments about the shit at Parris Island. All right? You know, you see the sergeant major, the first sergeant, all those people relieved. If that kid's being called a terrorist, that's bullshit. And nobody stood up to it, then guess what that means? That means those guys weren't trained right. Those guys weren't led right. And so since you guys are responsible for everything that happens and fails to happen with that unit, all your asses are out of here. Right? Get me guys that are going to make this shit work. So I'll apply that standard to hazing. That standard to hazing is this. Look, the commandant has said, we're not having it anymore. Right? You sat through the classes. You sat through the company classes. You sat through the division classes. You sat through all of it. You've taken the online training. Blah, 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 blah. Right? And your leaders have told you not to do it. Okay, so everybody's got it. we do more hazing training and sexual assault, sexual harassment. Holy shit. You know, but if it happens, just know this. Sergeant, if you're the squad leader, you're going to pay. Staff Sergeant, you're going to pay. Gunny, you're going to pay. It's going to touch all of you. So you bet. And so, Smitty, I don't know how do you, so my question is, how do you correct it? And my instinct is there ought to be a mandatory entry in Section I that says hazing occurred in this unit, that he was the platoon sergeant in. And there need to be no editorial. If he was negligent, then it certainly ought to be elaborated on in the fitness report. If it simply happened and he's a compartment or three away, it simply needs to be in there. And if you see that enough in somebody's fitness reports, then to me, you draw your own conclusions about them as a leader, and I think that's certainly important. But I'm trying to think of a mechanism that puts pressure on Sergeant Major, First Sergeant, Gunny, Master Sergeant, Master Gunny, right? And then the Sergeant, so that shit is rolling downhill, so that young Marines know that, look, initiation, that's one thing, right? Hell, my company commander was standing there when I got initiated, the first time I went to the field with Charlie Company 1-5, right? You know, we're hacking up our covers, doing E-tool qualify, and then they're doing, you know, psychological sit-ups. Somebody doing a sit-up into the crack of somebody's ass. And we all thought that was hilarious. And it was. I mean, it was funny as hell. And my company commander was standing right there for it. Right? Now, is that hazing? Wasn't not in 1984, it wasn't. Today, psychological sit-ups, probably considered hazing. But I'll tell you what, it sure is funny as hell to watch. How do you create the mechanism for me that gets more people invested in doing something more than giving a class, because that's what we have now. Leadership gives classes, wah 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 wah, and then these guys come in and their clothes get thrown off the third floor, you know, and scattered all over the place. They get woken up at 2 a.m. They get told to do this. They get told to do that. Blah, 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 blah. All by some stupid one-pump chump. Never heard a shot fired in anger. Lance Corporal. Senior Lance Corporal, I mean.
Hey.
Yes. You were supposed to speak.
Okay, well, you went dark. Anyway. I think the comment in Section I reinforces the perspective that we're focused on the symptom. But I see the purpose for doing with regards to, you know, to leadership. It's in the appropriate section in Section I. If we're trying to eliminate hazing, then that would be one way to probably do it. Those individuals aren't going to get promoted with that comment in there. So you're eliminating the people who are symptomatic of the problem. You're not solving the particular problem. Even if those comments are in the Section I on squad leader, platoon commander, company commander, battalion commander, regimental commander, and division commander, Section I report. So I am a guy who believes that the unit that I'm commanding takes on my personality, for good, for better, better or for worse. So I am going to trust them, and I'm not going to establish mechanisms, because my leadership philosophy is something that they're going to enjoy working for and doing. I'm not going to be ignorant enough and naive enough to know that there's not going to be some buddy that has some issue. So I just have a gut reaction to making the unit responsible when a person is responsible. Maybe you didn't necessarily mean it that way when you said, you know, I want to make the unit responsible, and then having folks in the chain of command being highlighted in one form or fashion.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Section I comment.
Yeah. I look, if every one of them is only going to be held accountable singularly, then and there's no other impact to anybody else? I mean, come on, what is that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I gave the lecture. I did my part.
Well, I think it might work, but I personally would not do that because of my specific leadership style and the success that I thought that I had, and not focusing on hazing, not focusing on the numbers, but trying to elevate the problem, elevate everybody's understanding of the problem so that they better understood. And
so you're going to call them in, and because of your charismatic leadership style, they're going to get it, and even the stupid among us are going to accept it, and it's not going to happen. And so, therefore, there doesn't need to be a mechanism.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to prevent it, Mac. I mean, we've been at this now for some 25 years, and we haven't been able to prevent it yet. You know, comments in Section I aren't going to
because it's the same solution. It's give them another class. And then court-martial more of them. If your mechanism is court-martial and nobody else is held accountable, then go ahead and keep court-martialing. That's our system. We give classes. They break the rules. When they're caught, we court-martial them. Nobody else is accountable for them. The problem's never going to get better.
Yeah, well, like I said, that's not my solution. That has to be
yes, it is.
Looks like it's somebody else's solution.
Your solution is the status quo.
No, I don't think so, because I don't remember anybody else of my peer group ever having a policy like this on hazing, where it starts out with, "This is what you don't know about the language that you think you know, and this is the application of this language to this organization." I've never seen anybody do this. I mean, even Eric Smith didn't take that route, did he?
I have to learn more about it. All right, I have to go. All right, I'm done with
okay,
you.
Buddy.
I'm done with you. No, I have to. I made arrangements for somebody to come on, and you and I talked about this too much. But here's what I want you to consider, not just for Phil Smith. I want you to be the commandant of the Marine Corps and say, institutionally, how do we do with it to make this not go away, because it's not going away, but to make this the exception, but it's because it's happening. In my opinion, it's probably happening too much. And again, I'm okay with initiations, okay? But when somebody gets a broomstick stuffed up their ass, that's gone beyond the initiation now.
Yep, I agree.
And so to me, when you're in there sanding the cherry wood, I want you to put this in the, you know, in the washing machine between your ears and let it regurgitate on it, or let it do a, I don't know what you call it, agitate on it. And that is this. How does the Marine Corps as an institution change this? We give classes. They violate the rules. We court-martial. We separate. That doesn't stop hazing. Doesn't even minimize hazing. So consider yourself tasked. Phil Smith.
All right. We'll talk again,
buddy. All right, bud. See ya. There you go. Settle nothing. Settle nothing. All right, we've got to take a quick break. Gil Barndollar is going to join us. He and his co-author, a gentleman by the name of R. Sam Long. We'll find out about who they are. And they wrote an article that appears in the online version of the Gazette called Putting the Team First on the Field. Putting the First Team on the Field, Irregular Warfare and Marine Combat Advisors. We'll talk to them about that. Momentarily. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.